Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We are live tonight. Good to be with you. Hopefully you're all doing good. We are here to pray for you, right? Minister to you, yeah. That's it. You get it, channel. So a lot of things going on, a lot of good things happening. And, of course, everything gets crazy when good starts happening because it doesn't like it. But it's that much more fun anyway. But anyway, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll be right back. Hang on a second. All right, good to be here. What a great night already. Been a great week. Actually, had a lot of things going on. Been a wonderful, wonderful week. Difficult in some ways, but awesome. Absolutely awesome. Make sure you drink your water. You'll think it's you're being oppressed or something's attacking you, but all it is your brain saying, "Feed me, drink, give me a drink, give me a drink of water." So give it a drink of water. Feed your brain some fat. I'm going to talk about this on a regular basis because it's one of the keys I know that keeps me going, you know, and keeps me sharp. And you learn these little things. I experiment with a lot of stuff. And I've tested all of it, and the times that I have done without the fats and the water and the protein, you know, at least those three things, man, it's like, duh. But, boy, when you feed your brain, it's amazing. It just works, right? It just works. And so it's really cool. All right, hang on a second. I'll be right back. All right, so we're here to pray for people tonight and believe God to do something to encourage you and, you know, working on that stuff. It's really important. Yeah, to get it going on. And I got something I want to share with you tonight. It's a wonderful night. Yeah, okay. Let me send this thing over here. I got it here, but I didn't send it yet. Okay, let's go here. All right, I want to talk a little bit tonight about some things I just got earlier today. I love it when God gives me information that makes sense to me. And so I want to share it with you tonight. I'm going to send this note here. Send it. Learning all kinds of new things. It's like just my brain started working at a higher level. I'm able to figure things out more quickly, and it's just like I'm seeing better. I see information better. I see information differently, process it differently. It's really been cool, and very grateful to God for what he's doing in the brain realm. For sure, I wish I had a measuring rod of some kind where I could measure how far I've come. I really don't know, but to me personally, it's been amazing. Because I am getting older, you know, I'm 70, and I feel like I'm 40 or 50 or whatever, but yeah, and maybe sharper than then. I don't really know exactly, but we'll find out. But anyway, it's very interesting. Not that every part of my brain is perfect, you know. It's really amazing. I want to say a few things about this real quick before I move on, but But what happens is I'm finding out that in your brain, when you get your brain, as you work it daily, pretty much daily, it's like all of a sudden parts of it kick in, you know, just out of the blue. And you're going like, whoa, what was that? And so you think you did something special to make it happen. But really, I do the same thing all the time. That way I can, you know, see if that's working. And it just kind of like all of a sudden something opens up and you're thinking bigger, broader, what are you going to say? You're rationalizing out things with more information. And, man, it's a whole lot better. You have a lot less anxiety and stress. It's really, really cool. So hopefully soon I'll be able to share more about it. I'll try to share what I can. But parts of it is I can't. So we'll hopefully get into it soon. All right. So I want to share something with you here. This is just one little note about something. I'm going to talk about something completely different. But they're talking about Job. I talk about Job off and on, and I saw this today. Yeah. And it was really interesting how that Job, I never realized it, but Job's wife, who just, of course, she has to realize she just lost all of her children suddenly, right? Horrific experience. Can't even imagine that. And then losing your money, all their servants, all their cattle, all their camels, everything was wiped out in that day. You just can't make this stuff up, man. It is unbelievable. So so she's suffering from God knows what we would be suffering from, tremendous anxiety, I can imagine. And this is in Job 2, verse 9, it says, in 9, 10, it says, then his wife, Job's wife, said to him, do you still maintain your integrity? I never really caught that part before. In other words, she's saying, you know, all of her friends, all their friends are telling them that Job has messed something up, right? And even she, I never really paid attention to this until today. For some reason, they caught me. And then his wife said to him, do you still maintain your integrity? Renounce God and die. Wow. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And we shall not receive evil. In all this, Job didn't sin with his lips. Wow, amazing. Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting, you know, how that we all can be the wife or the husband. You know, we all can do this. So it's just like it's just our wives, our husbands. But people in general just, you know, especially when it's you're close to you and they're affected by what's affecting you. You know, when God was testing Job, wasn't really testing his wife, but he was testing Job, that all that testing had an effect on her, a tremendous effect. And so you can kind of understand why this is going on, but at the same time, you know, here I've kind of been protecting her somewhat because you have to put herself in their shoes. God's been putting me in people's shoes lately a little more. It says, you know, she's saying, are you still saying that you haven't done anything wrong? Renounce God and die. That's basically what she's saying. So she kind of came in just like anybody would. I would probably do it. You would probably do it. We all would probably do it. Oh, I would never do that. Yeah, right. But, you know, so it's kind of one of those things where we're going like, oh, my gosh. She actually said to him, do you still say that you're not, you haven't done something wrong to bring this on us? That's basically what she's saying. A natural human thing, right? Not necessarily demonic or whatever, just human being. And so I like to try to, when I see these things in these Bible stories, Bible, the things these people live through, you kind of want to find an understanding for yourself when you do this kind of thing and you end up being wrong or you do, or others do it to you. You can kind of like get an idea of this is in the Bible for a reason, right? So, and Job did not sin with his lips. But here's one of the things, I want to step into this a little bit in a different way. Job says, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? This is an amazing statement that I think today the positive thinkers, you know, if you will, the positive thinking, Bible-believing people who erase a lot of the Word of God because it doesn't make, some of those things don't make God look very good. They don't make him into a good man. They make him into some beast, and sometimes he has a beastly part of him or something. I don't know what they think it is, but it's negative. It's a negative thing. He's saying here, shall we receive good are positive things at the hand of God all the time? Shall we not ever receive evil? You know, in other words, we can be God's servant, serving God with all of our heart, and never have evil. Job was a very wise man. In fact, he's the one that got doubled. If it hadn't been for him, he would have got doubled because his wife right there, I mean, bless her heart, I can only imagine. She said she was now accusing him. You can't make this stuff up, man. It's amazing. I love this stuff. So, we can kind of see that how life goes, how when everything falls apart, how we, you and me, as human beings, you know, are ready to go like, are you still saying that you haven't done something wrong? Are you still lying, in other words? Are you still lying? You're a liar, Job. You're lying. This can't be right. You're lying. Which, you know, if you've ever dealt with that, you know what I mean. I think most of us have. I've dealt with it. I know you have. I think we all, everybody deals with this stuff. But it's how we come through it. And Job came through it. He said he did not sin with his lips. He said, shall we just receive positive things, like the positive fingers? You know, they never let any room in for, let's don't let any room in for something negative to happen, because if we confess it and say it, it's going to happen. It's a hypocrisy, really, in the Bible, to take the Bible like that and make it into, like Job said of his wife. He said, you just think we're going to receive positive things? Well, here's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. There's a statement that I got a couple of days ago. I want to share it with you. Something that in the line of thinking that God can have me thinking. He said, not a positive thinker, but a word thinker. Right, God is not a positive thinker. He is a word thinker. Jesus was a word. He was the word. So we're not positive thinkers. We're word thinkers. Sometimes the word isn't very positive, but it brings life. And here, the negative thing, I've been prophesying at people for a long time. Most of the times I get words and they're just very positive, very uplifting. And sometimes there's some correctional thing going on. And man, as soon as that gets, people get that, it's like, you know, how dare you? I mean, who wants a negative word? Who wants a word correcting something? Nobody does. But, you know, God loves us enough to correct us, right? And, boys, we are so rebellious in our flesh. My flesh, your flesh, our flesh is so rebellious. Man, you tell me something negative, you know, and you start reading the Word of God. Like, sometimes you get a chance, read the book of Titus. It's got one chapter in it. One chapter. And I mean to tell you all the negative stuff in there. Okay, so He just brings up one negative thing after the other. He talks about the apostates, depraved and doomed. These guys are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, Enoch, it talks about Enoch, right? And it talks about Enoch here, and it said, but Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. Prophesied. Enoch was a prophet. He prophesied about these men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, 10,000s of them, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them. They are among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow. I mean, you talk about a mouthful. I mean, look at that. I mean, that's just four verses. It just makes your hair, put your hair on fire, right? You know, but this is so negative of the channel. We shouldn't, you know, we're going to give a word. It needs to be, and I kind of understand what people think. So who wants a word of correction? You know, we never like it. Our flesh doesn't like it, but our spirit man will love it. But our flesh just hates it, right? Mine, yours, all of ours. And if I read this whole thing, you would be going like, man, that was such a negative show tonight. Brother Chandler is getting so negative. And if I had just read the scripture only, the whole chapter, that's what you'd be doing, most of you, because that's what we do. And it's amazing. And so what's the negative in the Word of God for, quote, negative? What's the parts of the Word of God that talk about sin and unrighteousness and you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn, you're going to, you know, all these things going to happen to you, your life's going to be miserable, you're going to come into the curse, and you're going to have all these, what are all these negative things for? What's the purpose of them, and why do we need them as part of our spiritual diet? Why do we need the full Word of God instead of just all the positive parts that make us sound so delightful and so wonderful, and so everything's going to go so well for you, and it's going to be absolutely glorious? And then you start thinking about the Apostle Paul, the first prophecy he got from Ananias when he came to open his blinded eyes after Jesus had knocked him off his horse. How negative was that, right? And blinded him. How absolutely negative was that, exactly. But sometimes God has to blind us or give us negative information to destroy the things in us that are destroying us. That's what negative, that's what, I'm saying negative because that's what most people, you had such a negative word. All you talk about is, you know, I mean, they don't tell me that, but I talk a lot about positive things, most of them. But you give one, two, three little things that are like questionable correction, and it's like all hell breaks loose. Oh, you can feel the fire of their resentment and how dare you and blah, 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 you know. And, you know, we've all done it, right? We've all done it. So it's part of it. But what I want to explain tonight is the beauty of the negative part, because the beauty of it is that it, when God's word speaks about against sin and against ungodly unrighteousness and all these ungodly sinners doing ungodly things at an ungodly time, they're all just a bunch of ungodly. So when you start preaching the word of God in that sense, it lays the axe to the root of the things that are destroying you. So if you don't get correction or a negative word, as I've been told, and probably you have been too, you know, about things. How dare you tell me about hell? All you ever talked about is, well, if you never talk about heaven, that is a problem. But you can't talk about negative things unless with that people going, you know, and I've done the same thing. So we're all in the same boat here. All right, no condemnation here. I'm preaching to myself, and y'all just get to listen to it. Hopefully you'll get something out of it. I hope. But the negative things in the Word of God are the things that come against sin and unrighteousness and speak of discipline, and you know you're not disciplined, and you're all, what are those things doing? They're coming against the things that are the undisciplined parts of your life, so you can be disciplined to be blessed. And if you don't have something negative or something, an axe being laid to the root of things, which is a negative information, and it will just curse in the root and coming against it, this ungodly and unrighteous bunch of fruit, and unrighteousness, the whole thing. You know, it's like people don't understand that. They don't know, why do you have to do that? Why can't you just be positive all the time? Why are we going to let anything negative? Well, the Word of God is full of, quote, negative. Full of it. Full of it. I mean, I'm thinking really hard about reading this whole one chapter, the only chapter in the book of Titus, just to let you know how negative, quote, negative the Word of God is. I mean, it's amazing. Look how it says it. Look, if I told y'all some of this stuff, I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about general undisciplined Christians, right? Just a second ago, about to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And then it goes on down in the next verse, and it says, these apostate people, they are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause division, having the Spirit, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying. Here's some positive stuff, y'all. Maybe cut out all the other stuff and let's just read just positive, right? But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion. Oh, it doesn't say all. And on all have compassion. No, that's not what it says. I rebuke me for saying a lie like that. It doesn't say and have compassion on all. It says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction by others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating. Oh, there's that word hate again. Oh, my God. It's in the Bible. Negative. Hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Right. Now to him who is able, Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Oh, don't ever tell me I'm stumbling. Don't ever tell me, you know, I don't ever say anything negative to me. I mean, how many of us, every one of us, you know, have thought that, right? Me, you, everybody, because that's just our flesh. And that's just what this what this negative word is doing. It is laying the axe to our flesh, right? Our flesh, Randy's flesh, your flesh. I can name all y'all because you all have flesh. And our flesh just doesn't like it in general. Nobody has beautiful flesh. Nobody does. If you are, how wonderful you are, you know, at least publicly and you know, the whole, but you know what? Anyway, so you got flesh. Everybody's got flesh, and your flesh doesn't like correction. It doesn't like anything negative. It doesn't want to hear negative words from the Word of God. And people, you know, and I can relate to this. Okay, and he says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of the Lord God and his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forevermore. Amen. And it ends really positive. Right, even though it's saying here, if I had somebody on and I prophesied to them tonight, and I said some of these scriptures to them, you know, in any kind of way, it didn't matter whether you were speaking it to them or not. Somehow or another, they're going to take it as you're trying to say something negative over me. Right? Yeah, that's what our flesh says. That's my flesh, your flesh. So what I'm trying to just do is distinction between our flesh, which doesn't like anything negative about anything. We only want to be, you know, we only want to be, what's the word here? It says swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words, which is spoken by the apostles of the Lord Jesus, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. And they don't look like they're walking in ungodly lust. And here's the thing, they don't look like it because they're slick talkers, swelling words, flattering, telling people what they want to hear, which is what they know, because they know they don't like to hear negative words either, right? Yeah, because they know how the flesh is. When somebody understands the flesh and they walk around the flesh and just go to, you know, all swelling words of beauty and all that, then, friend, run from them. Run. Run. Because they are deceivers. They are liars. And for the most part, they are flattering you to get advantage of you. Yeah, it's really true. So what's the beauty of the negative part of it? Well, it's because the negative part is the Bible talks about, in John, it talks about the anointing destroys the yoke. Well, that's kind of negative too, in a sense, because you're going like destroying, the Holy Spirit destroys stuff. Well, that's what the negative part of the Word of God does, or the part of the Word that has a sword to it or a sharp edge or cuts you, is that it is cutting away the things that are making you negative, that are keeping you walking in the flesh, keeping you going the wrong direction, keeping you, you know, in the flattery realm, and to, you know, take advantage of you. Yeah, don't say anything negative because they might not give in the offering. Don't say anything negative to them because they might not, you know, because I know I've been around a long time, preachers and churches and talked to pastors, and man, when you start preaching about sin at all, the offerings, literally, this is a well-known fact, most churches, the offerings go way down. Because you know what the people are saying? We don't want to hear that. Right? So what was that? Were they bad people? No, it's their flesh. It's our flesh. And in order to keep our flesh in subjection to the Holy Spirit, you know, we have to discipline it. And so when you give word to somebody, if I give word to somebody tonight, oh, you need to discipline your flesh, I'm telling you, they'd like saying, well, I'm not giving those, you know, they wouldn't do it here, but in general, pastors and preachers, I'm not giving them the offering plate tonight because that was embarrassing. That was negative. Like I'm not disciplined or something. Exactly. You're not disciplined. If you were perfectly disciplined, you'd be, you know, having a lot less defeat in your life for the most part. That we talk about Job, who had, you know, things going on, and he was a very upright and righteous man. So, you know, things can happen, but we need to find a balance between our spirit man and our flesh, and our spirit and our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, our intentions and all that. We need to really believe God, to understand the Word of God is negative, so, quote unquote, because it's the part that destroys the roots. It whacks away the root, and it's painful, and it's disciplinarian, and it's like, oh my God, you know, that was so negative. But if you receive it and don't fight it, it will help you. It will do away with the thing that's trying to do away with you. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why it's important. The anointing destroys. The anointing destroys things. Yeah, and that's what Job really did with his wife right away. He said, his wife told him, he said, are you still maintaining your integrity? Job 2, verse 9. Because, you know, she was really under it and really battling. And, like, she was really blaming him. In this statement, she was really blaming him for all of it. Why don't you just renounce God and die? Could you imagine your wife or your husband or your mother or father telling you something like that? I mean, because your life just fell apart. Everything seems to be going the wrong way. And, like, they're blaming you for it, telling you you must have done something wrong. Why don't you just curse God and die? Renounce God. This is what he says. She says, renounce God right here. Wow. I mean, that's pretty heavy. I mean, it could be a husband telling a wife that. It could be a, you know, child telling her mother or father that, whatever. So this is not just about wives. This is about people who go through these things, right? And so what did Job do right away? He corrected. He said, but he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women who would speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? At the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job didn't sin with his lips. In other words, he was positive, but the right kind of positive. He was speaking to his wife in a negative sense, saying, you are foolish. Speaking like one of the foolish women. That's a very negative thing to tell somebody. Right? But if it's the truth, he was nailing something for her, trying to help her. You're speaking as a foolish person. In other words, you start speaking like a foolish person, you're going to start eventually acting like a foolish person. Right? That's what happens. And so he's rebuking her, correcting her with a, quote, negative word to help her to lay the axe to the root of what's going on. And he gives the word of understanding. Shall we just receive positive the hand of God? Or shall we see, and we cannot receive evil? We can't have evil. We can't be good God-fearing people and have evil. It's not necessarily he's saying God bringing evil, but, you know, God allowing it. But that can't happen. That's what, negative? You know, so it's just, he's really, the balance of Job, when you read the book of Job, some of it's really hard to understand, but a lot of it's really simple. So I've been really, as I listen to Job, I listened to it today again, and, you know, I see new things in it all the time. In fact, I've never seen here where, specifically where his wife said, "Shall you are you still trying to maintain your integrity?" In other words, you're full of it, boy. You're full of it. I know you are. Are you still maintaining that you're not full of it? Renounce God and die. Wow, I mean, that's pretty specific information, right? Because she's down under. She's, you know, but still, when you see that, it's what happens in life sometimes. And we have to prepare ourselves that sometimes people are going to do that and get ready because God just may be testing you to see if you'll forgive her or him or them, your friends, right? And if you get bitter and you know, it ruins us. So that's why God is trying to correct us and save us by his word. We're saved by the word of God. The positive, quote, and the negative. The negative destroys, the negative word of God destroys the negative of the devil in your life. The things that the enemy is trying to do to destroy you, the, quote, corrective side of God, the negative part where it brings up all the, you know, negative stuff, is to make you aware of that you're on a pathway of evil, and you don't even know it, and I'm just trying to help you. See, here with wife, Job's wife, where he's like, have you confront family members? You know, you're talking like a fool. You know, well, you mean to renounce? Not that she just say, you're lying. She's saying, renounce God and die. I mean, she put the double whammy on him. And it could have been him doing it to her, right? Yeah. But she's emotional. She just lost her kids. And you think, put all that in there and how the reason God, that the reason that God, the reason that Satan, because God took away the protection for Job, and the reason that Satan didn't take away his wife, or it could have been the other way around, is because, you know, he knew that a grieving woman over her children and losing all of her money, and they're like, we're going to be homeless, basically. You know, he knew that him living with her now was going to be a greater test than the devil himself. Not that she was evil, not about being evil, because that was the one he was really close to. That's the one that he was really in love with, and his wife, his covenant partner, is saying, you're a liar. Why don't you just renounce God and die and get this thing over with so I can move on with my life? I'll be single, but hey, if you're gone, I don't have any negative things coming at me. No judgment because of your sin. Yeah, and sometimes, you know, and sometimes it can be sin. So the reason we try to talk about all this is because we want to make people aware of the fact, the possibilities of how to judge situations, that not everything is the same. Not everything's what it looks like, right? And so we're learning from that. We're going to grow from that, and God's going to help us. And when we start receiving correction, we're going to still hurt. It's still going to be painful. Still going to want to rebuke the person telling us. I probably would too. You know, I know I would. But you know, that's part of the reaction that we have. It's just automatic reaction. How dare you talk with? That's an automatic reaction for our flesh, right? It doesn't mean that we're fleshly all the time. It just means we get caught off guard in our flesh response. So I'm not justifying the flesh. I'm not saying it's okay to do it. I'm just saying that this is what happens, and we need to understand it, prepare for it, and learn to walk through it. Right, and if we have to correct, like, really, Job was correcting her as being a fool. But she was being foolish. She was saying something that wasn't true. Obviously, we know that. She didn't know that. I would have probably done the same thing, wouldn't you? Being under those circumstances, that they're dire. They were horrible circumstances. More than anybody I ever know. I mean, people fear that when you talk about Job with them, that, oh, my God, no, I don't want a Job word. Don't give me a Job word. Well, who could blame him, right? Who could blame him? Because look at this. I mean, he went through stuff. So we can kind of understand this whole thing. We can have compassion on some. Didn't you like that, how it said, I never really paid attention to that much. I've read it a bunch of times, but it said have compassion on some, like not all. It didn't say have compassion on all. What does that mean? I'm going to check into that. Like, what? Ah, that's negative. Okay, so we're learning stuff tonight. Really cool to be with you tonight. We're going to go ahead and start taking callers. I've got so much going on, that so much, you know, just amazing good stuff going on. You know, a lot of pressure happening at the same time. And, you know, the pressure just causes me to, you know, after I grumble a little bit at first, I just kind of like go, oh, God, thank you for this opportunity that you're going to do something. And I'm not trying to be positive. That's just really what my spirit man. Listen to your spirit man. Your spirit man will tell you this right here, right? That something awesome is going to be worked through this. Something beautiful. Something glorious is going to happen. Right? Because your spirit man knows that. Your spirit man knows that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. Are you called according to his purposes? We all are. But are we yielding to it? And if you are, everything will work out for your good friend. I mean, everything. Even if you mess up something, not just what people mess up with you, he said all things. Cool, man. That is really awesome word. Thank you, Jesus, for that revelation tonight. We appreciate it, Lord. Thank you for that. All right. I'm going to get a drink of water here, and we'll take a second, and I'll be right back with you. All right. So thanks for being with us tonight. Get ready. We're going to take our callers next. So thank you for being part of PGN, and that's really awesome. I think we're getting a little bit of a, that was a really cool word, I thought. I'm not going to write that down before I forget it, but it's so cool. About how the negative parts of the Word of God, or what we call negative, is really to destroy the negativity, the true negativity in our life, or the things that are working against us. I never quite looked at it exactly like that before. I thought it was really awesome. I ran to my phone. I got to write that down before I forget about it. I got so much stuff going on, right? If I don't write it down pretty quick, I'll, you know, what was that? That was an awesome word. What was it? Oh, yeah. I'm just like everybody else. I write this stuff down as quickly as I can so that I don't forget about it. All right. Good to have you tonight. And hope you're doing well. I'm praying for you. We're going to take our callers now. My first call tonight is 915. Then we have 214. And then we have 202. Then we have 325. Then we have 769. Then we have 610. Then we have 704. Then 804. Then 803. Then 612. Then 847. Then 405. Then 214. 415. Then 915. 929. Then 303. 386. 940. 442. 863. 251. 912. With a 398 on it. At 754-255. And we got a couple of people who don't have their hand up. All right. Just letting you know about that. In case you don't know it, check and make sure you get your hand up, please. Hello? Here we go. All right. Let's take our callers tonight. All right. My first caller tonight is 915. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? 915-248. Hello?
Prophet Randy, this is Daniel in Texas. And could you also pray for my 4-year-old granddaughter, Sophia, that's having some respiratory issues?
Oh, bless her heart. Thank you. Okay, you're welcome. Sophia. I love that name, Sophia. Respiration. I'll write all this down. Respiratory problems. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, tonight. We just speak over Sophia tonight. Jesus, thank you, Daniel, for giving us the privilege to pray for her, sweet baby doll. Dear Jesus, we ask you to wash her and cleanse her with your blood tonight, God. Any attack, anything that would, the enemy would attack her with in these circumstances, we stand in the gap on that, that anything that she's going through will process through her brain by the Holy Spirit in a positive, positive way. In a way that will bless her, in a way that will help her, in a way that will make her know that Jesus loves her and Jesus is with her. We just speak over her life tonight, God. We speak health. I plead the blood of Jesus over her. I bind you, Satan, from interfering with her in any fashion or form. In Jesus' name, she is a child of the living God. I declare and decree over her life that she is beautiful and precious and lively and lovely and anointed by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let it be done in Jesus' name. And over Daniel's sake, we speak the precious thing, that God, open your eyes up to the precious thing. Sometimes, like with me, I know that I have something precious right in front of me, and it doesn't look precious. It looks like it's, you know, really kind of like a pain in the neck, and, you know, I'm seeing it as a negative, in a negative way. And not a God negative way either, a real negative way. This is not good. And Lord goes, that's precious to me. I'm going like, huh? And he opens my eyes and shows me, you know, what's precious to him is completely different from what we think precious is, right? Because our natural human instincts look at something and go like, man, that's nothing but a problem. And sometimes it might be, but at the same time, we're open to things and letting God show you the beauty and the preciousness of what is precious to him so that we count what is precious, precious in God's eyes. Yeah, in Jesus' name. All right, cool. And enhance and bless Daniel, Father. In Jesus' name, give him wisdom and knowledge beyond his years. And may the beauty of the Lord rest upon him as never before. Amen. All right, 214-646. I'm going to talk to you real quick.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas. And will you also pray for Gregory, Gianna, and Zena?
Okay, hang on a second here. Greg. Okay, thank you. Gregory, Gianna,
mm-hmm.
Anna, and what was the other one? Sorry.
And Zena.
Zena, yeah. He asked me to pray for the my text. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you very much. All right, hearing good things about you guys, your ministry. Thank God. Blessing you sounds like really, really awesome. Always good to hear that the people of God, especially our PGN people, are being used by God. Thank God for that. Thank you, Jesus. All right, thank you, Lord, for Gregory. Tonight, God, we just plead the blood of Jesus over Gregory. Father, we thank you that that you bring activity in his life, God, that will cause him to be aware of the times that we're in, the seasons that we're in, so that he will become sober-minded in his thinking toward the reality of where we are, instead of where our flesh, my flesh, your flesh, will tell you, you know, well, you know, don't worry about that. No, you know, you don't worry about that right now. No, we need to be worried about that right now. Not worry, but, you know, concern, you know, be concerned about the things that we need to be concerned about, and then letting go of the things that God says let go of, right? So God, show him what is important to God, what needs to be focused on, what needs to be let go, right? In Jesus' name. All right. All right, so we got Gianna tonight. Lord, we thank you for Gianna. We just thank you, Lord, that you're touching her heart, blessing her heart, dealing with her heart, God, Gianna's heart, to protect, to keep, to watch over, to guardian, the guardian of the Lord be upon her, the guardianship of Jesus be upon her, whatever that is, the guardianship of Christ upon her in Jesus' name, and that she be delivered from all evil, from all things that are that look okay but that are not. The deceptions and lies, that she be brought into the truth and protected, even if she doesn't know the truth. Others will help her to walk and live and be protected by the truth, in Jesus' name. All right, Zena, we pray for Zena tonight. God, we thank you for Zena. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to bless her, call her forth in Jesus' name. Call her forth out of any darkness. Call her forth out of any pain. Call her forth out of any heartache and suffering that she's going through, God, that she can see the beauty of life, see the beauty that we don't want to waste our time and focusing on things that really do nothing, but focus on things that are of God, and those things, God, will eventually deliver her from all troubles and issues. God, in Jesus' name, we speak blessing over her tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Lord, for their service here in PGN. We thank you, Lord, how you're using them. Thank you, God, to bless them, increase them, multiply them, cause them to be rightly divide the word of truth in every area, whatever that is, all the things that you're showing them, revealing to them, God, in Jesus' name. And the peace of God will be upon them, Father, where they can know the Prince of Peace, that the Prince of Peace hates things that take away peace and loves the things that bring peace. So we can hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing them into that place. Because that's really the fear of the Lord, is when we hate what God hates and love what God, like God, of course, loves all people. And even though he may correct some, who like in the book of Titus, we're reading that, that's mind-boggling. Oh, my God. You know, whew. And so thank you, Jesus, for that, and that they walk in that thing of loving people and hating evil more than ever in their whole life, God. In Jesus' name, amen, hallelujah. All right, 202-722, let me talk to your friend, please.
Hey, Brother Randy, this is Daryl Paul and Nicole calling from Maryland.
Uh-oh, Maryland. All right, thank you. I don't know why I always want to mess with you with that, but I'm going to try to change my ways. I'm going to try to change my ways, bro. How would that be? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. All right. So we're changing our ways, changing the ways that we look at things, changing the way that we look at things, changing the way that we look at things, and seeing it from a higher level. Higher perspective. God is bringing you to a higher perspective, dude. A higher level of understanding, because God's wanting to bring you to the ways of God, which are the roots, knowing the roots of things. Because when you know the ways of God, then you know how things work, and therefore you can, you know, work with them. You know, we work with them. We don't work them, but we work with them. Because we know how it works. Like if somebody knows how a car works and something goes wrong, if you understand the basic principle of how a car works, you can think, oh, that's either the radiator or, you know, whatever. I don't know. Just trying to make it some. But, you know, because you understand how it works and you hear the noises, you know, the heat lights coming on, you know, I'll check this and check that. And because you understand the ways, the first thing you check or maybe the second thing you check, like you find the answer to it, right? So God's showing you how to look at things at a perspective from the roots instead of the fruit of things, the root of a thing. Go right to the root of it and find answers and ask the right questions. Because you know the ways of God. Jesus understood the ways of God, Daryl, Paul, and what did he do? He asked the right questions, right? Because number one, his brain was working 100%. And he had the Holy Spirit, of course, you know, with him all the time. But he was a child. He was born by the Holy Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit. So he thought completely different. And thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. All right, for Nicole, thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. We thank you, Lord, for that river of life, that river of pouring out. Oh, wow, you feel that? Pouring out. Pouring out. It's like I see you, what you do, whatever, it's just talking to somebody, where you're sharing the word of God on PGN, whatever you're doing. I see just like God pouring out. He said, I'm going to pour out of my spirit of my sons and my daughters. Hallelujah. I'm going to pour out of my spirit. My spirit upon my sons and my daughters. And I just see, like, out of your belly, things just being poured out like the river of God, pouring life, finding, seeing words that you see, not only just in the Word of God, but just words that we use and talk, finding the definition of words to become a powerful explanation and explicit speech process that you go through to understand something, you know, to speak something in a language that is a higher language. God has given you a higher language. That's kind of a little bit the way I try to explain what's happening with my brain at times. I found myself wanting to say words. I'm not really sure what they mean. I know I've heard them before, but in my brain starts trying to, you know, take my intellect to a higher level, my speech, language, my articulation. And it's kind of scary in a way, but a beautiful thing, because it means that you're going to a higher level of articulating, which means your language is being precisely spoken, which means that it's like a sharp two-edged sword, dividing asunder. Bakwata mahelo chongo pete pawa. Yeah. Pouring out of my spirit upon my sons and my daughters in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Cool. Wow, that was awesome. Let's go here to 325-280. We're talking to the phone, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. The power of attorney. On your journey, gonna learn the power of attorney. On your journey, the power of attorney saying, you can't do that, or you can do that, and you're not going to do that because you can't do that. You can do that because you can do that, and you can do that, and you can't do that. Yeah, like binding and loosening. You know what? In other words, not allowing things to happen that you know in your spirit, man, that God's showing you, that you don't have to allow. I don't have to allow that. I'm not going to allow that. And it won't happen. You know why? Because you're coming to agreement with God. Whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loose on earth is loose in heaven. The power, wow. Dude, that was awesome. I mean, that just came right, flopping right out of my mouth. The power of attorney. On your journey, the power of attorney. On your journey, saying, you can't do that, and you can't do that. Well, you can do it now. Yeah, come on. Yeah, you know, I can't sing, but there you go. The power of attorney. It's almost like God, you know, saying he's beckoning you to like a Holy Ghost attorney to allow what God allows and to disallow what God doesn't allow.
to bind what he binds, you know, to bind, you have to bind it on earth. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Why? Because it's already bound in heaven, because God already knows that. Hey, Chris, the Lord says, don't let that fly. Don't let that go. Bind that. Yeah. And so you bind it, and then because you bind it, it's bound in heaven, and you got agreement, and then it stops. It has to stop. Or you loose it and let it work and let it happen and let it work, let it be loosed to the degree that God is loosening it, which is much higher than our level of ability to loose a thing. Paquata maye. I'm getting crazy tonight. I love this stuff. Awesome. Yeah. Waha shende. All right. Very cool. All right. 769-220. Who am I talking to you from, please?
It's Andrika and Chris in Georgia. Can you also pray for Torrey?
Absolutely. Y'all are awake tonight. All right. Guess we'll be starting early.
Yeah.
All right. We will do that. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Torrey. Hooray for Torrey. I'm saying hooray for Torrey. Hooray, hooray for Torrey. Lord, I'm speaking hooray over him. I'm speaking hurrah. I'm speaking like blessing. I'm speaking like, yeah, shout of joy, the shout of victory. Paho, pahe, pahwa, mati, katocha, bavande, bavande, bavante, panoha, bahe. Ye, she, the victory. Makatala, horka, baranda. The victory of Jesus, the victory of Jesus, the victory of Jesus, the victory of Jesus. Victory in his spirit, victory in his soul, victory in his body, victory in his life, victory in his ability to learn and grow and mature and be a man of God and meet the right people and get connected to the right people and have a future of beauty and multiplication and increase. Hallelujah, my brother. Torrey, maha. Hooray, Torrey. That's what I heard, Andrika. You know, I get... It's like hooray for Torrey. Hooray for Torrey. Torrey, you foray. Hooray for Torrey. Foray. Yeah, what does foray mean? I don't know. Foray. That's just a kind of word, or I don't know. Anyway, foray. Interesting. Somebody needs an interpretation on that foray thing. Let me know. I'll make sure and tell Torrey or tell Andrika and Chris. All right, thank you for Andrika and Chris tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the binding together. Father, in Jesus' name, when we see the word I gave to Chris somewhat about the coming in agreement to stop things, to stop things from happening that we know are not God. Now, it doesn't mean that sometimes we're not going to suffer in Christ. Sometimes we suffer in Christ. Like Paul the Apostle, you know, Chris and Andrika, you know, he tried to get rid of that problem, right? And he tried hard, man. He said three times I prayed. And for Paul to say three times I prayed, he wasn't just saying, I breathed out a couple of prayers for a couple of minutes. No, he's talking like he went on fast, you know, and he tried to stop this negative thing that was happening to him because that's what we, you know, all naturally think. But God said, I'm not going to remove it from you because it's going to bless you. So we thank you, Lord, and Andrika, God, how to find, you know, and come into agreement. Like when they pray and say, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. That can't happen. And God goes, yeah, I'm not going to get rid of that one for you. Sorry, y'all. If that's going to bring some blessing, it's going to, you know, protect you, going to keep you, going to watch you, whatever the thing is. And I think it'll, and there's sometimes, you know, God's going to say, you know, don't allow that. Don't come into agreement with that. Right. And so if we come into agreement with something, if we come out of agreement, if we try to come out of agreement with something that God doesn't want us to agree with, just like Paul, God's going to go, I'm sorry, man. You know, I know you're praying really hard, and I'm watching you just struggle, but I'm not going to answer that one because that's going to bless you. It's beyond you to understand what's happening. Sometimes our things are beyond us. But, you know, when you're in the hands of God, God's going to bless you no matter what. He's going to take all things and work them together for their good because we love God. And I know you love God. You guys love God. Christian Andrika and Torrey and Direk, they love God. And what's the other one's name? Victor, I think, whatever Victor is, I don't know. But that, I just speak a blessing over the family, God, that there will not be any allowance of anything that does not belong. And if God brings something that may look a little bit, quote, negative, but it's bringing blessing, that, you know, even though they may try to pray it out like we all would, you know, who wouldn't pray out that stuff? They're having a hard time. right, natural to do it. But, you know, God will say, hey, you know, he's not going to knock you down. He's going to say, hey, I'm sorry, that's working for your good, so I'm going to let that happen. But there's other things I want you to you know, come in agreement with, to stop some things, to keep things from happening. You know, like I said, if you're praying about that and you're not sure whether you're right about it or not, then just keep going, and God will reveal it to you. You know, he doesn't just let us keep going in the wrong way without going, okay, you can't pray like that because I got something going on that's going to be really going to bless you. Yeah, so, God's working all things out together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purposes. Amen. And I know that's you guys. In Jesus' name, I declare and decree that over you in Jesus' name. All things, even mistakes we make, even failures that we have, God takes it and we give it to him. Now, if we don't give it to him, he can't take it and work it. That's the thing. When we make a mistake or something, we feel like it's a mistake. I've done things that I thought were mistakes that weren't. Then it ended up being God, and I just, you know, didn't understand it. Right. So, so God give you wisdom on, you know, how to, you know, say, hey, you know, I messed it up. I didn't get it exactly right. You know, I'm not talking about some horrible sin or something. I'm talking about that's the message. If I am just, you know, like I've had God speak to me about words and then I misunderstood them and I had to repent of that. And as soon as I repented of it, the whole thing turned around for me. And I said, God, forgive me for messing up your word because I misunderstood it, right? The word came to pass, but I misunderstood it the way it was. And so God, you know, right away when I said, I'm sorry, he said, man, I mean, instantly he's like going, yay, you're back in that area. And, yeah, that's really the way it is. All right, really cool. All right, 610-969, who can talk to you from, please?
Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa.
Hi.
Can you please pray for my family, for my son and my mom, please?
Yes. All right, thank you. Andre. Oh, what am I talking about, Andre? I got Andre in there. That's not your son. You said your son, so I'm going to just pray for your son. All right. And your mama. I'm just saying mama. That's what you said, mama. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my brother tonight, God. I thank you, Jesus, for her son. Jesus, for her blood. The person that she gave birth to that was a human being, her son, Devante. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for blessing him, for causing him to not look like with me many times. I get a narrow view of something, and I don't let anything else in. You know, so God has to broaden my brain so that I can process information correctly and get a balance on things. When I have a balance on things, then I have a lot less anxiety and stress and find less fault with people about stuff, whatever. I'm able to see a broader picture of, oh, that's why they did it. Instead of, they did that. I know they did that. You know, like, that was wrong. Instead, I look at, okay, you have a little compassion because you're like, okay, they did that because of this and because of that. Because your brain broadens and thinks bigger. And when we get so, you know, focused in on one little, you know, a gnat, we struggle with a gnat and swallow a camel, isn't that something like that? Yeah. We strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, I think it was good. And we do that sometimes. We do that. So I thank you, Lord, that you give him the grace on how to work through that. And for mom, thank you, Lord, for the family, for her mother. That bloodline thing, God, again, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing. God, we thank you, Lord, that we have to come into agreement to change. So I thank you, Lord, you give her mama the ability to come into agreement with you. Because if we don't come in agreement, like if we don't truly repent, it's like repenting or come into agreement with God. We have to come into agreement with God and or repent of something to get that thing off of us. We can't just keep letting it go on and not say, God, I'm sorry. We have to say God and truly say, I'm sorry. Or if we did something to somebody, we have to go say, I'm sorry I did that to you if it was truly wrong. Because, you know, that's how things are dealt with. We have to deal with things. We have to come into agreement with him. We can't just go, okay, whatever. We find something that we know is God, we agree with it, and then we stand with God on it. And then if we're wrong about agreeing on it, he'll show us one way or the other. Yeah. So thank you for that favor. Thank you for the favor upon my sister, God, upon Lisa. Thank you, Jesus, for favor. Thank you, Lord, for friendship. Thank you, Lord, for bringing friends that were true, that she can find. You know, it's hard to, once you trust Jesus as a friend and you get to know him as a friend, it's hard to have anybody else that's a true friend because there's nobody like Jesus. But I'm asking you to bring people in her life, God, that will be like Jesus more than anybody she's ever had. In Jesus' name, open that up. And, yeah, bless her with that, God, in Jesus' name. True friendship. Amen. All right, 704-614. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Deborah from South Carolina.
Hey, Deborah. All right, good to have you tonight. All right, Deborah, from PGN, one of our teachers on Tuesday. Good to have you tonight, Deborah. Thank you, Jesus, for that prophet inside of her, God, that prophetic part of her that is ready to take the axe and lay the axe to the things that are destroying God's people and yet watering and planting the Word of God to grow things, to grow people, to grow her, to grow herself, to grow her family, to grow. Sometimes we have to take the axe out and we have to destroy the things that are destroying our families, you know, because we need wisdom to do it because family things can be really, you know, difficult. But sometimes if it's hard to get in somebody's business that's not our business, even though they're our family, unless God says, their blood's on your hands. Yeah, and when their blood is on your hands and God makes you know to that, makes known that to you, then you basically have to deal with it. And so we start asking wisdom from God on how do I deal with those things? How do I help them? Because when it's family, it's like, if you mess that up, you have to deal with it, right? I know about that. Dealing with family can be really, you know, because once you get that, you're living with that one. And so the wisdom of God, give her great wisdom, God, on how to deal with her family and the things that she wants to help and bring blessing to them and help correct when correction is needed, the right way to do it, the wisdom, the way to be receptive of the correction in Jesus' name. And so she can watch the fruit and the labor and the multiplication and increase. Because when we prune, when we get pruned, more fruit comes, right? And God is interested in fruit. Lots of fruit. He wants lots of fruit. So I thank you, Lord, for that whole thing in her life in every area. When she learned to prune herself, prune others, and bring lots of fruit, God, in Jesus' name. Trimming those trees up, man. Yeah, so they bear forth, you know, much fruit. I know we did a pecan tree out there in the front yard at 2024, and man, it's like the pecan, plus a little fertilizer, pecans got so big. I mean, if I had to trim down the trees, the fruit would have broken the limbs and stuff off. Yeah, the branches, because it was like, wow. And so, you know, there's something beautiful about knowing how to deal with things God's way so that we get more fruit. God is interested in lots of fruit. He made the earth and made everything out of seed, as you know, the seed of the Word of God. And then he gave us the pruning ability to prune things. In Jesus' name, so that we get not just regular fruit out of it, but abundance fruit. Bring forth abundance, God, in her life, in Jesus' name. Show her how to do it. Show her the ways of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, 804-218. You want to talk to her, please?
This is Angie from Virginia.
Hey, Angie. All right. Thank you, Lord, for all the correction, God, that you've given her in her life and how she's received it and how she's grown and learned and visited you about it and said, are you sure about that, Lord? Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure about that. Okay, whatever you say. And God, I thank you, Lord, that thing of whatever you say, I'm going to live by whatever you say. I'm going to live by the word of the living God, not just by the Bible, but the part of the Bible that comes alive. The living, breathing Word of God that causes you to breathe in, victory, to breathe in the things that will destroy the things that are trying to destroy you, the thought processes and all the different things that try to mess with you when the enemy tries to come in and mess with and oppress and bother and bug. And I thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of victory and life in my sister, God, in Jesus' name, that you show her how to get the most out of everything, how to get the most out of everything. It's like some people, you find that they, like back in the old days, this is what I'm thinking of, like the Indians, they knew how to take an animal, you know, when they killed a buffalo, whatever. And they used every part of it for something. They didn't waste anything. And when they would watch the white man come in, as we call it, the white man, come in, and they would just kill him and leave him there and take, you know, whatever, and leave most of it there. It would just grieve them because they were like, man, God provided this buffalo for us, for people, for human beings, because there's so much in it. It's our coat, it's our tent, it's our food, it's our a lot of things. I mean, they took every part of the buffalo, you know, so teaching you how to take every part of everything and use everything that God has given to the fullest. Like, I just learned about pomegranates. Right, I woke up one morning, this was like a couple of months ago, and I know a lot about pomegranates, right? You know, I studied that a lot. And so I woke up one morning, the Lord said, the pomegranate thing, I'm going like, yeah, I know a lot about that, Lord. Because like, hey, it's what you think. So I'm half asleep, right? I YouTube, okay, you want me to do this? Okay, pomegranate. And this lady pops up on there that I've never seen before. Starts talking about every part of the pomegranate. You need to eat all of it. I'm going like, huh? And that's what the Lord was saying. So, yeah, I want you to do that. There's something in it. I'm going like, okay. And so I did. The peel, the seeds, even though I do them all separately, because the juice is what keeps it sweet, and so I washed down the bitter, you know, skin and the seeds, and I make it this beautiful. Oh, it just tastes really great. Really, it really enhanced the drink, actually, to be truthful. So, you know, Tim, so God's showing you how to take everything God has put in something and showing you what all it's made for in life. Like, some people don't know these bugs are bad bugs, but sometimes some bugs have a purpose in doing something in the earth that nobody really knows what they do. They're just kind of a pain to them, and they try to kill them all. And they don't realize that in killing some of those bugs, that those bugs are there to do a job that they don't know about, to help their life go better, even though they don't know it, right? So open her eyes, God, more and more to how to get everything out of what you created, Father, and use it to the fullest, from our brains to our bodies to our food to everything. All right. Okay. Awesome. I just got this note from Andrika, and I like because she pays attention. Great word for a graduating senior in high school. Oh, okay. Hang on a second. Okay. So I gave her the word foray, and I didn't even know. I heard myself say that. I've never heard that word before. Make or go on a foray, the place into which you were forbidden to foray. A sudden attack or incursion into enemy territory, especially to obtain something like a raid. A garrison made a foray. Wow, I didn't even know that was a word, girl. Honest to God. When I heard that, I'm going like, is that a name or what is that? Woo! Hallelujah. The garrison, this is an example, was the garrison made a foray against Richard's camp, the place to which you were forbidden to, in other words, going in and taking some territory, an initial and often tentative attempt to do something in a new or different field or area of activity. My Lord and my God, that's amazing. The novelist, yeah, and Enrique goes, God is awesome. Man, that is awesome. That just came flying out of my mouth, and I heard myself say, I was saying, hooray for Toray, foray. That's how it happened. And I went, awesome. Girl, God's helping you there. That's amazing. Thank you for, thanks for telling me that. That's very encouraging. I know that everything we get doesn't mean something right away, but I think that did, and I'm so grateful for that. Jesus, we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory for telling your story to Toray. Foray. To Toray foray. My Lord and my God, that makes me feel good. Thank you, Enrica. So right on time. Oh, okay. Well, awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's nice to know God's using. We've been praying for him about college choice, major acceptance. So right on. Oh my gosh. Okay, so he's a graduating high school senior. That is awesome, girl. so proud of you and him and them and all that. Foray. Hooray, foray, foray. What a mix of words. It actually meant something, you know, it's really cool. Thank God for people who look, who pay attention. I think most of our friends do, but sometimes people don't understand the prophetic. So pay attention. It might bless you somehow or another. It could be a blessing. All right. All right, 803-991, who I talk to you from, please.
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
All right. Divine, divine, divine. Divine, like divine, D-E-V-I, like divine appointment. Divine as in, I want to say like a vintage wine, like a vintage wine, like, you know, God's taken your water and turned it into vintage wine. Like, I want to say divine. I don't know what divine means, but divine, maybe it's a French word or something. I'm not sure. Divine. That's what I want to say. Divine. Maybe D-E and then dash W-I-N-E, or maybe it's all one word. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but thank you, Jesus, for that divine, in Jesus' name, that you're turning her water. Just the things, the water is the natural things that come that we do every day for God, and, you know, and then God all of a sudden turns our water into wine. In other words, he does a miracle and takes what we're doing for him, you know, just natural things to do for him, and going like, I'm going to bless that. I'm going to turn that into a whole different element, right? Because turning water into wine, which Jesus did at a feast, and then when they drank it, yes, they got loaded. Because the guy of the man who tasted it, he said, well, they always save the good wine for last because the people get loaded, and then they don't know the difference. So what did Jesus do? He gave them more wine, and they got more party in them. I mean, that's the people try to walk that away with some religious spirit, but that's the truth. It's like, you know, true. I'm not saying, you know, what do people think I'm saying, but I'm just saying what the truth is. That's the truth. So there's something about that where Jesus was turning water into wine. Yeah, he was changing the element of her, of that water. So when God does it in our life, he changes, you know, what we are, who we are. We are water, which is awesome. Everybody needs water, right? But it's a beautiful thing. It's a God thing. But then he takes it and changes it and recreates it, turns it into something that turns it into a party. For people, you know, that's what that was for. He turned that wine because they were partying. Somebody was getting married. It was amazing. And God loves babies, and in our babies, he likes marriage. They got married. Look at having some babies. He loves those babies, man. Anyway, so I don't know what that is, but turn your water into wine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, your work, your things you're doing, and either increasing it and changing the element. Like, just say you write a book, so know you're done. And you write it, and you say you do something else. You write some other things, and this time when you write it, it's like it turns into something different. The chemistry of it is different. The thing about it is different. It may not be another book, maybe something else, but the element of change, and God doing that, right? So you pour it out to give it to others. Sometimes when we pour out, like when they poured, it says when they poured the wine out, the water out, it turned to wine. So it's something about pouring it out. Lord, help her to pour out so what she's doing can turn. Pouring out can mean, Angela, it can mean like, you know, like when you wrote your first book, whatever, when you did, you poured out, you did something, you activated, you put your faith to work. And, turn that water into wine, something, you know, yeah, anyway, all right. I'm trying to explain it the best I can, but you know what that's like. All right, 612-991, who am I talking to from, please? Are you there? I think this is Joyce from Minnesota. All right, Joyce, we got you covered. Pretty sure that's you, and I can double check and make sure, so I'll get the name wrong. One, two. Yes, Joyce. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce from Minnesota. God, we thank you, Lord, for the favor of God in her life. God, we thank you, Lord, for that what seems to be a loss sometimes, that you turn it around and turn it into victory. You turn it around and turn it into a blessing. You turn it around. And sometimes we're made angry by things, by injustice, or we're made angry by, you know, things not working like they're supposed to because God's going like, sometimes he wants us, he shakes us, and he moves us to get us to move to a higher level. We get angry, you know, like Jesus got angry and he drove out the money changers. He said, and he did it out of love because he said, I love my Father's temple, and y'all turn it into merchandisers, selling and buying and selling. I mean, what is wrong with you guys? This is a place of worship, not a place to sell God's word or God's stuff or whatever. But so thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for opening that up and developing that in her life. In Jesus' name, where she will, as she loves God, like Jesus did when he went to the temple, that he went in because of out of love, and he made some negative comments, you might say. Get out of my Father's house, the house of prayer. You turn into a den of thieves. That's something negative, right? Negative. What was he dealing with? He was dealing with something that needed to be dealt with, and so he had to bring some, quote, negative word or some information that was, you know, like, get out. You're over. It's finished. It's over. You're gone. Bye. I destroy you. Yeah. So that destruction is something that brought life and brought victory and brought holiness. And then so sometimes when we love things and love, we get angry and we do a thing to make it better. God makes it better. All right, 847-505, can we talk to you, friend, please?
Hey, this is Marja from Illinois.
Hey, Marja. All right, Marja, good to have you tonight. Thanks, Lord, for Marja tonight. Thank you, Lord, for success. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of success in her life, that she will feel like a success in every area, God, of her life, that even the things that seem to not work, she's going to feel like that she's at least successfully handled that. You know, so even with things that we wish or want or whatever, that we can be successful in the way we handle it until it changes. So it's about being a success in everything means that, yeah, sometimes we have disappointment, we have things going. But, Lord, we thank you. I thank you that you've making her into a success story of how to handle things, how to deal with things, how to move with things, how to deal with your own, you know, fears and inadequacies and all the things that human beings deal with. God, to bring her to a place of glory and honor and praise, God, in Jesus' name, where she will understand and know the things that God has given her, and that she is blessed, and that she is a person, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, that she knows the ways of God and she walks with God and talks with God. And even though we have our bad days and good days, and that, but even in the bad days, even the tough days, God, they all turn out for good because somehow, some way, something glorious came out of it. Amen, in Jesus' name, because her heart to serve you, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 405-934, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Autumn.
Hey, Autumn. Autumn, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Autumn. Thank you, Jesus, for the breaking up of the old patterns, in Jesus' name, and establishing new patterns. You know, like sometimes I go through things, like I have a new season in my life, and I go, like all summer you spend outside with your shorts on, T-shirt on, maybe working in the yard, doing, and all of a sudden wintertime comes, and like you have to break the patterns of, you know, going out. You the weather changes, so we change. So I thank you, Lord, for showing Autumn how to change with the weather. When the seasons change, he changes with it. Not like God never changes, but God created the changes, you know. So it's like, but we learn how to flow with them. We change our clothing. We change the way we deal with things. We learn, you know, yeah. So thank you, Lord, that as the seasons change in his life, that he will learn how to dress for them, to think about them, to understand them, what you can do, what things you do in the summertime. Like growing things and that. You can't do that in the wintertime. It's a change. Everything changes. I thank you, Lord, that you're showing him how to change with the seasons. And when it comes time for the right season to do the right thing, he's ready for it. He's prepared for it. And then when that's done, he moves along with it. He comes to the agreement. And his life changes because he doesn't get stuck on things that try to mess with him, God. But he's learning how to work with God, learning the ways of God, knowing how to, you know, build himself up when nobody else builds him up. Like David, the Bible talks about David, that he built himself up in the Lord because nobody else would. Nobody else maybe knew how. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory in Jesus' name for that. And I thank you, Lord, for that place, God, in Jesus' name. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that, that place, God, as you've been, that you're making him flexible where when things, you know, when he needs to bend with things, he bends. He doesn't break. He doesn't fall apart. He stands. He bends with it. He bows. And Jesus ain't howled, and then he comes right back. And God's showing you how to come right back, come right back. You have a situation that messes with you, and you just bounce right back because that's called resurrection power. You're always bouncing back, always bouncing back, growing from things, learning from things, changing, moving. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, and becoming victorious and blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Victorious and blessed, Autumn. Hallelujah. Amen. 915-929, I'm going to talk to you, friend, please.
God bless you, Prophet Randy. This is Carmen from Texas.
All right, Carmen from Texas. That even rhymes almost, even though it doesn't really rhyme. It's Carmen from Texas. Yeah, I'm driving a Lexus. Oh, what? I'm driving a Lexus. I don't know where that came from Texas. Driving a Lexus. Yeah, I'm from Texas. My name is Carmen. Here I come. Watch out, devil. I'm on my way. Watch out, devil. I'm going to say whatever he says. The way he says it. Yeah, it doesn't rhyme. Make it rhyme, right? Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for that river, that flow, that increase, that energy. That new energy, God, giving her a new energy, resurrection energy, resurrection power. She sees things through resurrection. She sees things through knowing the resurrection. Like Jesus said, I'm not just going to resurrect people at the end. He told Martha and Mary, he said, I am the resurrection. So when she sees things, God, she's going to see everything as, even if it dies, even if it goes bad, that it's going to be resurrected. It's going to be somehow God's going to resurrect. God's going to resurrect. God's going to resurrect. But when you see things, you don't lose hope. You know, the thing you hope in always is we believe, we know, and Jesus is the resurrection. Hallelujah. So no matter what goes on, what has to happen, the resurrection is going to bring it forth. And that's what, when Abraham gave up Isaac, when he yielded him over, because he had an understanding. He looked at things through resurrection power, and that's the reason that he did it. Yeah, he was able to do it. That's what made him able, was because he believed in the resurrection. He said, if he dies, he'll just raise it from the dead. Either way, it's going to happen. God's going to do it. And God had built that strong faith in Abraham to where it didn't matter what it was. Even the yielding of his own son, you got to think about that. That was his own child. And he was, I mean, my gosh, who would ever do that? That man was amazing. Man. I can't even picture that one in my head without cringing, going like, dear God, that man is like an amazing man of God. All right. Thank you, Lord, for making Carmen that amazing woman of God. All right. In Jesus' name. All right. 303-386. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Mike and Veronica.
Hey, y'all. All right. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Akwate Mashiach Patawa Anna Hainde and Yawa Watawa He Takawa Ato Maha Nishniki Chakwa Wafa He Pawaye Tawunda Pusniki Parako Papa Pete Moshniki Shniki Stopu Sopola Papete Pikawa Ba. Yeah, Deku Shanto Moshniki. It's like a sense of change in your language. A change, you know, like God's bringing your language, your expression, your, in Veronica's, whatever, expressions to another level. Not of, you know, sweet mass and never say, never say anything controversial, but when you're controversial, you know, it has purpose. When you're controversial, when you disagree or whatever with something, you're doing it, it's just done because you're working something out, you're working something through. You don't just say, okay, well, I'll just receive it. You know, you don't understand it. You don't agree with it. You work through until you get it. And that's what God loves about you. You learn to work through things until you get it. And if you don't get it, you don't got it. If you don't got it, you don't get it, right? So we're trying to get it. We're trying to get what God wants us to get. And sometimes we have to work through and struggle through and do all that. And God loves that about you. He doesn't mind you struggling and working through things and being disagreeable and whatever to look for the answer to a thing. Because that's what I sense a deep, sign inside of you, a deep desire to know the truth from God's perspective, not just what people say, but And because of that, that's in you, you have this tension and this troubling thing in you that wants to know the truth, and you're not going to stop until you find it. And that's nothing wrong with that. You know, God can give you wisdom on how to handle it. It's a powerful thing. You know, I've had to do this with people. When I first started prophesying and hanging around people who have been prophets for a long time and were fairly well-known people, and then I started getting words, and they said, "Yeah, that's not going to really happen." Because, you know, and they were being nice about it, but what happened is it happened, and it happened again and again and again. It's like they were going like, "Yeah, well," but they quit saying that to me, right? And then I started figuring out that, hey, when God gives me something, you know, I'm not going to just bow down to people because they say it's not right, because they are more important than me or more bigger than me or have more money than me or have more influence than me. And God's speaking to me, that's it. You know, that's it. Is he going to change me? He'll change me. Right? And sometimes God, yes, uses people and all that. But there you go. Thank you, Lord, for that. And for family, God, we thank you for Veronica. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom and liberty, God, that you bring to make decisions, to be free, be liberated, and yet be bound. Paul the Apostle was a bondservant of Christ, which means he was a slave of Christ, but yet he was free, freer than anybody. Because when you're a bondservant of God, that means that you're bondservant to God. You know, when you're bondservant to God, there ain't no bondservanthood like that. It's amazing. You're a servant of a living God, and we thank you for that, Jesus. Amen. And God reveals that to us. All right, 940-210. Who am I talking to your friend, please? Who am I talking to? Where are you from? Your name? Hello. All right, I think that's Michael from Texas. Yeah, Michael from Texas. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my friend Michael tonight, God. I know you called into the show last week, and you had to go before I got able to get to you, so I'm really sorry about that. I wish I could talk to you. But thank you, Jesus, for my brother from Texas, from Wichita. I guess you're from Wichita, Paul, right? Thank you, Lord, for my brother. Thank you, Jesus, for the increase and multiplication in his life. Thank you, God, for everything that, you know, sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. But in Christ Jesus, we always win because we learn from what we lose. We learn from what we win, so we can win more, so we can be more blessed. And the things that we lose in, we don't let that say, oh, you know, I've got anymore. It's like we used to go like, okay, either I missed it or I need to learn more about this. So it's never a thing of condemnation. It's always a thing of, you know, I can learn from this, I can grow from this and change from this. And God showing you how to discipline yourself, you know, and take control of yourself. Some areas I have a lot of control over in my life in Christ Jesus. Some other areas it's like, you know, I have to watch myself because I'm, you know, kind of go, hey. And so, you know, I know those. I'm very aware of those. And I watch over them closely so that, you know, I keep myself in check. And, you know, because, you know, life can be crazy sometimes. So thank you, Lord, for all the crazy times. With my brother, God, you blessing him, giving him ability to discipline himself so that he will reap the benefits of that disciplinariness for the blessing of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And then 442-242, can we talk to you from two?
Hi, Randy. This is Dee and Sonya. I need you to pray for my son. My son, Gregory.
Gregory?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We call him Greg. Yes,
Greg. Greg. Okay, got you. Thank you, dear. I appreciate it. All right, thank you, Lord, for Greg tonight, Gregory. Thank you, Lord, for blessing him, God. We thank you for giving him wisdom on how to keep himself. You know, sometimes we have to learn how to keep ourselves. It took me a long time to learn how to keep myself. You know, like I could be blessed with something and then I would lose it or you know, whatever. And God started showing me, you know, you can keep that. You don't have to lose anything. Even when you give things away, even when you give things, you may look like you lost it, but you lose it in Christ. What's everything you lose in Christ, you gain from that. So even when you choose to lose, if you do it in Christ Jesus, you gain from that. So it doesn't really matter what you lose, what you gain. So thank you, Lord, for Gregory, God, that you will show him, God, that whatever things that have been a loss in his life, when we give them to Christ, can turn around to be a blessing. You know, we have to give it to him, though. We have to say, Lord, I give this to you. This is yours. And to bless me, please don't forget to pray for Sonia. Yes. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So, Gregory, God, we thank you, Jesus, for opening him up and delivering him, Jesus, into that place of knowing that whatever, anything hasn't worked out in his life that he thought should go a certain way, that we just, you know, give it to God. We give it to God. And God, you know, he shows us what we need to do, what we don't need to do, and we correct our path and we, you know, move on. It's just as simple. There's no condemnation to Christ Jesus. So it's always about learning and growing. And Jesus, nobody does everything perfect all the time. So thank you, Lord, for Sonia. We pray for Sonia tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving her courage and strength, God. Thank you for showing her how to, the humility around how to humble herself, God, in a much more, I know she already does it already, but how to humble herself in a much deeper way, in a much more powerful, because the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth, those that are humble and broken and meek. So there's something about catching that wave of meekness. God knows I'll take some of that too, because the meek inherit the earth. It's about inheriting things that belong to us, our inheritance. And so the meek inherit the earth. So I thank you, Lord. I pray that over her. I thank you, Lord, she's a meek woman. God, it doesn't mean that we're a pushover. It doesn't mean that we weren't meek. Meekness doesn't mean weakness. We thank you, Lord, for meekness, God, that as you work that into her life, God, that she's going to take dominion and have, she's going to inherit what belongs to her from God. Amen. In Jesus' name. It's from God. And so thank you, Lord, for D. Thank you, Jesus, for D. Thank you for all the changes. Thank you for the moving. Thank you for all the things that you're doing, God. You move things around. You change things around. Sometimes we do what we can do. We're not responsible. Once we do what God tells us to do, you can't do any more than that. You're not responsible for that. If it goes good, it goes bad, whatever, it's not really up to you. It's our decision to be used by God to do something. And once we do it, we've done everything God tells us to do, and we know that we have, and our conscience is clear, then if the results turn out something other than what it's supposed to be, then it's not our fault. We did what God told us to do, right? So I thank you, Jesus, for D, God, for showing her how to do that, walking that, and living that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To live in the victory, God, whether things go well or not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I called him a bad Negro. Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro, like he was bad to the bone. They were like tough. They were amazing. They were powerful. And they said, we're not going to bow, King. Even if God doesn't deliver us, we are not bowing. And they throw him in the fire. Big mistake, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. You're going to get thrown in the fire now. And then what happened? God promoted them because they didn't burn. Yeah, and they got promoted. So thank you, Lord, for that promotion. What part are you laughing about, the bad Negro thing? The bad Negro? Hey, I have to say that's not an original. Yeah, she's saying, yeah. Dee's saying, yeah. What happened with that? I heard that from Carlton Pearson years ago. He preached on that, and he said that. I wish I could take credit for that, but I can't. I have to give him the credit for it. I think he's backslidden from the Lord as far as, I don't know if he is or not now, but. Yeah, that came from Carlton Pearson, an African-American man out of Oklahoma. Amazing man, really, I think. But, yeah, he came up with that, so I have to give him the credit. That's pretty good. I kind of thought it was cool, too. I use it a lot. All right, 912-398, who am I talking to you from, please?
Paulette from Georgia.
Hi, Paulette. All right, thank you, Lord, for friendship, God. I thank you for her friendliness. I thank you for her kindness. Thank you for her love, God. I thank you for her delightfulness, that delightful thing in her, God. God showing you what to delight in, how to be delightful. Because when you delight in the Lord, you become delightful. Even if you're not agreeing with somebody, you're doing it in a delightful way. Like, I don't agree with that. And they go like, man, that was so delightful. And they're like, yeah, I know. Like, yeah, that was delightful. So being delightful, being a delight. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So there's something about that when we delight in the Lord, in the power of his might, in the glory, to delight in him. Yeah, and so that when, you know, things just happen, we delight in the Lord. We choose to delight ourselves in him. And then he gives us the desires of our heart. So I thank you, Lord, for giving her the desires of her heart, God. in Jesus' name, because she delights in you. Therefore, you give her the desires of her heart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Where was I at? Wow. All right. Give me a second here. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's really cool. All right, Paulette, awesome. Good to have you tonight. All right, there's something powerful about that right there in the name of Jesus. Bring life and victory, God, in Jesus' name, and cause the risen Christ to come forth in her life, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. No defeat in Jesus. No defeat in Jesus. Okay, hallelujah. All right, people are texting me saying, have you got me yet? Not yet. I'm on my way. We have a long line tonight. And I love long lines. All right, so this is all good. All right, let's go here to 828-442. I'm going to talk to Lou from, please.
Hi, this is Jennifer from North Carolina and Greg.
Jennifer and Greg. Okay, thank you, Jennifer. All right, thank you, Dor. Dikato kashnepi papa akade. Dikato ho, Greg and Jennifer. All right, Greg and Jennifer. Thank you, Jesus, for Greg and Jennifer. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom and liberty, God. The financial freedom, the freedom to, sometimes God lets us be bound to a certain degree at times. It's like Paul the Apostle, you know, he's put in prison for a while. For the gospel of Jesus Christ, of course, what God did in that time is he used that time to write the word of God, or a lot of it. And he was a prisoner of Christ, and people were ashamed of him. Some people, he would say in his gospel book, thank God for those who are, so-and-so was not ashamed of my chains, because his chains were the chains, because he was preaching the gospel, and it wasn't because he stirred up a bunch of trouble on his own. You know, God had, you know, God allowed him to be put in to be bound in prison so that he could work the word of God and write the word of God and that kind of thing. So thank you, Jesus, for all the things you've done in Greg and I think Greg and Jennifer's life, God. That you caused them to, you know, you turned that thing out for good. You used it to rewrite their life, to rewrite them. You're rewriting their life, God, in Jesus' name, to rewrite them. Like their tongue is that of a ready writer, to rewrite, not just saying positive things to be positive, but speaking the word of the Lord, speaking the word of God to rewrite your life. I see God, it's like maybe before it wasn't time to rewrite it or something, I don't know. But now it's like the Lord saying, rewrite, start declaring, decreeing what the Lord shows you and rewrite your life. And you're also going to write about your life too someday. You're going to write about it. Maybe you're doing that, but let it be done in Jesus' name. Rewrite your life and make it right. Rewrite your life and make it right. Ain't it right? It's right. What you didn't think was right, you found that was right. Like Paul the Apostle. You know, Paul the Apostle going like, man, this trouble I'm having, like, this is of the devil. It kind of was, but God was involved in it. He said, Paul, I'm sorry, I'm not going to deliver you from that because this is going to help you. Oh, thanks a lot, God. I prayed like, you know, three major times. Okay, well, I see God, like, yeah. So anyway, there you go. All right. Hallelujah. All right, 754-255. Who am I talking to, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya. I was going to ask also for a prayer for Luther.
Lucas?
Luther.
Luca? Y'all come over.
No, like Luther, cool. Like Martin Luther King.
Oh, Luther. Sorry. You know me, yeah. Man. I don't hear so well. All right. Gotcha. Hey, brother. Good to hear from you. All right. Let's do that.
Same here.
Thank you. Yeah, same here. Good to hear from you, too. All right. God bless you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Luther tonight, God. We thank you for Luther, God, that Luther, you know, interpreting life according to the Holy Spirit, not just according to the Bible, Because people can take the Bible, you can come up with all kinds of things. I've taken the Bible and come up with all kinds of cool things that weren't God, right? But to take the interpreting things according to what the Spirit of God says for him, so that he will, because God wants to give him a new leg. It's almost like, in a spiritual sense, he doesn't have a leg. Like a leg is missing, and God's giving him a new leg, a new walk. Part of his walk is going to change. It's being cut off, and where he can't walk. Like Paul the Apostle was blinded, so he could kill Christians. You know, God blinded him in the sense that Lucas, that you know, like his leg has been not functioning or not able to work, cut off or something, and then God's replacing his leg, but he's given a new leg for a new walk. And we thank you, Jesus, for Lucas, God, you give him a new leg, a new walk, a new victory, a new insight to, you know, life and to change his destiny, you know. Like Paul the Apostle thought his destiny was killing Christians. You know, I'm taking it for God. He thought he was taking it for God, literally. I'm taking it for God, man. And finally, God says, I love this boy. And I knocked him off his horse and said, you're not taking it for me, man. You persecuted me. And he goes, who is this? It's the Lord. Oh, my gosh. You really are God. And he revealed himself, and Paul got a new leg, if you will, a new walk. And God turned his destiny, changed his destiny, because he was kind of going, you know, maybe he was serving God under the law, but that passed away, so something new had come in. So it wasn't that he was of the devil. It's just that he was, you know, God had changed everything, and he hadn't seen it yet. And so God knew if he saw it, it would be great. So thank you, Lord, for Lucas, in Jesus' name, to give him that leg to walk on, the new walk with God in Jesus' name, a new way of looking at things, a new way of understanding things. So you interpret things correctly instead of thinking, oh, that's a bad thing. Instead, it's a good thing. Because you interpret wrong, you think something's bad when it's really good, or the other way around. Hallelujah. All right, thank you for my friend tonight, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya. We thank you, Jesus, for the power to restitution, the power of restitution, the power to restitution. Let me look up the word restitution. I know what it means, basically, but let's look it up. I got a feeling there's something there. Hang on a second. Restitution. Here it is. The act of giving back something that has been lost or stolen. Whoa. Dude, that is hot. The act of giving back something that has been lost or stolen. The act of compensating for loss or injury by reverting as far as possible to the position before your injury occurred. I don't know if you get a chance, Donald, if you guys want to look that word up and kind of put that in your spirit, because that's what I see happening. And I don't know what's been lost. I don't know what's been stolen. I'm not sure what that's talking about. I'm sure you might understand something, but in the law, the act of compensating for loss or injury by reverting as far as possible to the position before such an injury occurred. Okay, let's see what he's saying here. I've been declaring this is a season of reward. Oh, okay. I don't know, man. That was amazing. Like right away, restitution. And I know what the word means basically, but that when you speak about that specifically, this is what I see happening here. The restitution is the act of giving back to a person something that was lost or stolen, or paying them money for the loss. Whoa! If you look on down, if you get, I don't know if you're on Google, but you do restitution and then down a little bit, in Collins Dictionary, little red C there, if you see that there, but it's on there. It says, what does restitution mean? And you look it up, and it says the act of giving back the person. So one of them says giving back the money. Yeah, so there's a money thing going involved in that. Okay, it's right below it. People also ask, what is the simple definition of restitution? Here it is. Simple restitution definition. Restitution is the act of giving back to a person something that was lost or stolen, or of paying them money for the loss. The victims are demanding full restitution. Synonyms, compensation, satisfaction, amends, refund. Yeah, refund. I'm going to have some fun. Holy Ghost fun. All right, don't ask me, man. Right away, boom. Restitution. Right away. I mean, that was amazing. Hallelujah, I love it. All right, thank you, Jesus, for that restitution where our brothers are. We thank you, Lord, for that, for the power of that. He says he's coming, he's been praying for that, something like that, in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord, for the victory of that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, for the season of rewards, God, and that is the paying back. Yeah, amen, payback time. Yeah, I just loosen that. I come in agreement with you on that as a servant of the Lord. In Jesus' name, let it be done to you and to your family and to your wife, to your children as a whole, not just like a restitution of something, you know, that's lost in a sense, you know, and then you get that only, but the general restitution of inheritance from many generations gone by, that God sometimes chooses a person to use because they know they're going to obey God with it, to bless them and restore generational loss. Also, in Jesus' name, that's for you and Tanya and for the kids. That's a family word. That's a seed. That's a bloodline word right there in Jesus' name. Yeah, like Abraham and Isaac, what they do, Donald, as you know, they passed that blessing to their children. It was extremely important. It was something that it was expected. The family expected. They knew it was going to happen sometime, but when, they didn't know exactly. And then one day, you know, Abraham calls in, you know, his sons and going to bless them. Same thing with, you know, Jacob. They all did it. And that's what's so powerful that keeps the blessing, is that you get blessed and then you bless your family. Hallelujah. That's awesome, man. Amen. I've heard something similar to that before, confirmation. Okay, awesome. I don't know, man. That's what the Lord's saying, bro. That's awesome, man. Woo! Tonight's hot. Something's hot going on. Something hot is going on. Reputation too. God's going to restore reputation in the genetics of your family heritage, you know, going to restore things, you know, reputation, like Job, you know, Job had a reputation for being, you know, a wise man, a smart man. He had a lot of money. He was smart. He was a godly man. And then when everything got taken away, his reputation tried to be taken away too. They tried to say, oh, you've done something wrong. Even his own wife, I read this in Job 2 verse 9, it says about his own wife who was grieving over the loss. She said to him, oh, you're still claiming that you're clear from doing wrong? You're still claiming your integrity, are you, Job? Why don't you just curse God of that? I mean, I saw that for the first time, you know, for some reason, just boom. And his reputation was being attacked, right? You know, not that he'd done anything wrong, but his reputation was trying to, the enemy was after his reputation, trying to give him a reputation. So he said, no, you know, and he rebuked her. Verse 10, it says he rebuked her and told her, you're speaking like a foolish woman. And he straightened it out right then. He didn't leave it hanging. And because his reputation, and that's what God was doing for him, Donald and Tanya, was that God was saying, I trust Job. I know if I bring, you can strip him of everything. He's going to give me praise. You watch. And the devil goes, yeah, right. And what did he do? He changed his reputation from being a good man to being an awesome man. Woo, in the midst of it, the devil tried to steal his reputation for his family and his future and all that. Yeah, that was a damning thing that happened to him as far as trying to take his reputation down. And God says, no way, I'm going to restore it double. So instead of his destroying, he became double in his reputation, restoration. All right, awesome. 503-318, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Robin from Oregon.
Hi, Robin.
I don't know. Hi, how are you? you could please pray for me and my and Dawn also. That would be great.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. All right, you bet. You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Robin and Dawn tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus, for the filling in the gap, filling in, like when Judas was taken out, they had to you know, bring in somebody else. So they drew lots, and Matthias was the one. And so, you know, the filling in the gaps, taking, replacing what needs to be replaced, Matthias took the place of Judas, who was supposed to be 12 disciples, 12 apostles. So thank you, Lord, for all that happening in her life, God, to restoration in her life, to filling in the gaps, filling in those things that have been, taken, robbed, stolen, whatever you want to say, like Judas, when Judas betrayed the Lord. He lost his place, and so I think he's used that they were restoring it, like, God, you're restoring, replacing, God, and do that in Dawn's life, God, in her life, in Jesus' name. God, let that be done. Let it be blessed. Let it be favored in Jesus' name, and let them find that their lives are being, the things that have been missing or that have been lost or removed are being restored and replaced. Amen. And it's like in the Bible. In Jesus' name, things were missing. God replaced them and restored them. Amen. Restoration. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done, God. And blessing on Dawn. Blessing on Robin in Jesus' name. To increase them and multiply them together. God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Amen. All right, 941-524. Let me talk for a second, please.
This is Aaron Daniel from Sarasota, Florida.
Let's say it one more time. Who?
Aaron Daniel.
Aaron Daniel?
Yeah.
All right, Aaron Daniel. Good to have you tonight. Good to have you tonight. All right. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my brother, God, in Jesus' name. Yes. Okay, yeah, I haven't heard from you in a while. Good, really good to hear from you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for my brother tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for the life, for the victory, God. Jesus' name, thank you, Father, that no matter what hits him, God, he wants to stand up and say, God, I'll take whatever you want to give me, but just bring me through it. I'll take whatever you want to send my way, but bring me through it. I can only trust in you. You're the only one that I can trust in. You're the only one that I know that will truly, do what's right in my behalf and bless me when I need it and forgive me when I need forgiveness and give me encouragement when I need it. So I thank you, Lord, that your fellowship with my brother tonight, Jesus, may increase to a whole other level of fellowship at a resurrection level. In Jesus' name, knowing that whatever gets taken gets replaced. Whatever gets destroyed, that God comes in and, he's like, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When you're called according to the purposes of God, and you have a purpose of God in your life, then literally he protects you, he watches over you, he makes sure that you get that purpose fulfilled and nobody can stop it. In Jesus' name, let that be done for my brother. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 402-650, who am I talking to, him, please?
Hey, Randy, it's John and Melissa in Omaha. If you could pray for us both generally, but if you could also pray for my health specifically.
What was it last thing?
From my health specifically.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. All right. For John and Melissa, in Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Okay, and health. All right, thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord, for John's health. God, we thank you, Jesus, that all the stress, all the pressure, all the things he's been through, God, that built up in his life, God, that you will release that. I release you from that pressure, from that stress. I release you from feeling like, you're not perfect, like that condemnation thing tries to hit you sometimes and bring pressure and stress in your life. For God says, I look at things completely different than you. I look at things as everything as that I've made a way. Thanks. I've made a way for failure. I've made a way to restore everything. I've made a way. That's what the cross of Calvary was all about. Everything that goes the wrong direction, that gets messed up, that gets off track, whatever the thing is, or messed up, whether it's our bodies, that God, what Christ did on the cross, fixes it for everything, no matter what the reason, no matter whatever the thing is. It doesn't really matter, even matter what it is. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to know. We just know that Jesus paid for it on the cross of Calvary. And I thank you, Jesus, for the cross of Calvary in John's life, God. In Jesus' name, that and all the release of the pressures, the release of the thing, the anxiety, the stress, the things that we all go through for, you know, of just life in general, in Jesus' name, and bring that blessing, God, that there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so it causes a release of glory and blessing in his body and his mind. So his body and mind can receive the blessing. His body and mind can receive health. In Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Christ over my brother tonight, God. In Jesus' name, he will receive his blessing from you, Father, that are eternal. And you're with him always and at all times. And pray for Melissa, God. We thank you, Lord, for praying for her. We pray for her tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for the timing that she learns about timing, learns how to work with timing when she sees, you know, like when you cook something in the oven, you put a timer on, right? You know, in 3 minutes and 27 seconds, that's going to be done, you know, or in 5 minutes or an hour, whatever the thing is, you have a timing. So leave it in there too long, it gets burnt, you take it out too soon, and it's not cooked good enough. It's not like it's supposed to be. So I thank the Lord for the timing thing with Melissa. She will see that, walk in that, and understand that so things can be done and be blessed. Amen. All right, 903-808. Who would talk to you real, please?
This is Jamie in Texas.
All right. Hey, Jamie. All right. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings on Jeannie, God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing realm in her life, God. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom and the victory. In Jesus' name, that that your the connections you bring to her, God, I see God bringing you some new connections. And, you know, I don't know if it's people you can relate to or something you can relate to or something you can relate to that gives you, that opens up your vision for the Lord. I see your vision increasing. I see vision being given to you, like a new level of it or something. New vision, new, you know, without vision, the people perish. So, you know, we need some, we go along, like with me, I go along for a certain time in the vision I'm in and walking in, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, okay, got that, Lord, that's it, what's up, anything new? Like nothing, and all of a sudden, boom, he gives me this new thing. So he breathes new life into me, like he breathes the new into me, because I'm ready for it, I guess. And he says, you know, I'm giving you new vision. I'm giving you, like, it's stirring up your vision, stirring it up, increasing it, multiplying it, giving you something to see, like, look what I, you know, remember I thought you were going to do this? Now, look, I'm doing it now. Look, it's happening. And it restores your vision to a whole nother level. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for increasing that, multiplying that, opening that up and causing freedom, God, because, you know, anytime we have a purpose, it's like falling in love for the first time. It's like you all of a sudden everything changes. It's like you have a reason to live. You have a reason to give. You have a reason to receive. You have a reason to be. You have a reason to at a new level, at a brand new level. I mean, it's not that I know you already have that already, but at a new level. In Jesus' name, amen. At new levels, right? Yeah. All right, because you're ready. God says you've been prepped and ready. All right, 951-966 in the front room, please. 951-966. Okay, let's go here. All right, I believe that's Regina. Yeah, that's Regina. All right, Regina, thank you tonight. All right, I got you, Regina. I got you covered. Thank you, Jesus, for Regina tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for sparing her. I thank you, Lord, that I sense this thing of God praying through you. Spare that person. Spare that. Don't let them die. Don't let them fall apart. Don't let them be destroyed. Spare them. Spare them. Like Abraham prayed over, you know, he was asking over certain things. He said, God, will you not spare them if there's 50 or 40 or 30, whatever? And I sense this new spirit of intercession and this new spirit of, you know, God have mercy on them, you know, and really talking to God at a new level like Abraham did. He said, God, you're going to let There's some righteous people in there. It's not like you to go around killing people, destroying people when there's righteous people in there. He said, if there's 50, will you destroy it? God goes, no, if there's 50, I won't destroy it. He keeps bringing it down and down and down. So I think the Lord for that conversation with God, that fellowship with God, that ability to, the confidence to be able to go before God and go, you know, what about this guy? Like Moses talked to God. He just talked to him. He said, you know, you're gonna do what? You're gonna kill all these people? You know, then start with me again. What are the Egyptians gonna think about you? You brought them out here to kill them. That's gonna make you look bad. You know, he just talked to God in a way that like he was friends. So I thank you, Lord, for that fellowship with that Regina has with you, Jesus, and bless that. Open that up and bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 214-415. I'm gonna talk for you, please.
Hi, Barbara. I want to pray for Leslie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for Leslie. We pray for Leslie tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, that when the winds of life begin to blow, God, that we find out what foundation we have on it. And sometimes we have to change things. Sometimes we're doing okay, but we could be doing better. We could renew it. We could restore some things. We could, you know, look at things differently. And sometimes we look at things the same way. We have the same results. But when God shows us what's really going on, what's beyond, what's hidden, what's a secret, and then reveal the secret things of God. That's why the secret places of God are very powerful. When you live in the secret place of God, in that secret place, in that hidden place, then you know the things that most people know. You can see the things that most people can see. And I thank you, Lord, you called Leslie to that realm, God, to live there, to dwell there, to be there, to see the secrets of God, know the secrets, the things that you have to be, you know, seek God about to get in Jesus' name. All right, and thank you, Lord, for that, for her, and bless her and touch her, God, and give her courage and strength. Help her with her dealing with the stress and the pressure, God, where it doesn't cause her to blow a gasket, but she becomes greater and better in Jesus' name, where she becomes freer and, you know, connects with God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for giving Barbara a new confidence, God. New confidence in that her place with you, that her place with you is with because of you, not because of people, not because of men, not because of anybody, not because of mom and dad, although all those people might have helped. But your position with God is because it's the position God has given you, not people. Men didn't appoint you. You didn't appoint yourself. God appointed you. And God really going to renew that with you and restore that with you and build that up with you if you can, you know, walk with your head up at a new level, at a new place. I know you already know that, but God really showing you so you can go forth with goldness. With gold. I said, did you hear that? I said goldness instead of boldness. Goldness. I like that. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to say. The gold. The gold. Come buy me gold tried in the fire. Woo, Jesus. The shekel by fire. Bring fellowship, Lord, and restoration in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Renewal of all the truth. Renewal of truth. The truth renewal. God, renewing truth to you. Things you've already known, but he's going to renew them for you. And then to live by them in a brand new way, a brand new level. Yeah, so you can walk tiptoe through the tulips. You know, it's like tiptoeing. I don't know, to the garden of God or something. I'm not sure what that is. Awesome, beautiful. All right, 912-339. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Hi, Prophet Randy. Angela Joy, Georgia.
Hey, Angela Joy, Georgia. All right, good to see you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for seeing you. Like God says, I see you. I see you. I see you. Like when different people in the Bible, you know, God would say, oh, I see you. I see you. You let them know I'm seeing you. I know what you're going through. I know what's happening. I see you. And God being... making Angela aware more and more of the time that you see her. You see her. You know what's going on. And God has this thing where he has to do things legally. So when we learn the legal language of God and we learn what we can bind and what we can loose and what we allow and what we don't allow, you know, then that's kind of what changed everything. So I thank you, Lord, for that whole authority realm of binding and loosening. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, and walking that power, that place of authority where we know that you know, what we allow, what we don't allow, what God says, don't allow that. The other things he says, allow that. you know, even Paul the Apostle, like I said earlier, I was talking with somebody about this earlier, about that Paul had the thorn in the flesh and he kept trying to get rid of it. I said, no. So Paul was trying to bind up something that God was not binding up right. Oh, my God, how many times have I done that? Well, it's not, I'm going to allow that because I'm going to do something. So I thank you, Jesus, for giving her wisdom and insight, how to see things. That God is turning back removing the veil on things and showing why he allowed certain things, like he did with Paul. He's not allowing this to happen to this, sometimes Paul would speak blindness on people. You'd think a man of God would do that. You'd think a man of God would be positive and speak blessing on somebody. But sometimes we have to blind people. God has to blind people. Because Paul understood that. He got blinded himself. When he was Saul and going the wrong way, God blinded him. He knows that. He understood what that blindness did to him. It opened him up. It opened his eyes. Being blinded opened him up. It stopped him from going the way he was going. In Jesus' name, it brought him to a new place. And God's showing you, Angela, how to do that with other people, how to blind them. Okay, you shouldn't pay for blindness. Yeah, when God says so, God Almighty. And then later on, Paul blinded other people. Remember that scripture where it said he blinded them? He spoke blindness on them, and they were blind. They couldn't see where they were going to bring repentance. Yeah, and change. Sometimes people have to be blinded. It's like, could you imagine having eyesight one day and, and the next day you wake up, you don't have any eyesight, what that would be like? It caused you to think inwardly, like, okay, what's really going on? So sometimes being blinded like that can really awaken people to God where they change forever. It did Paul. And he was a very strong-willed person, and God had to use that to do something with him. All right, 863-605. So God's going to show you how to do that, Jangela. And then over people and stuff. Hey.
Hey, hi. Randy. It's Charles and Nikki. And could you pray for Christian?
Yes. I sure can. I sure will. Thank you, Jesus, for Christian, God. We just thank you for your love for him, God, that you just love that baby doll. You love that boy, God. We thank you for watching over him, for caring for him, for letting him know that he's not alone, God, that you're with him, and that even though we don't always understand why things work the way they work or don't work the way they work, but we know that God is always with us no matter what. That's what Job had learned. He knew it already, but God tested him, and he doubled him. When Job says, whether you slay me or don't, I'm going to praise you. Yea, though you slay me, I will praise you. And I thank you, Lord, that for Christian God in his life, you're going to make him that kind of a man of God. For though you slay me, I'm going to praise you no matter what. And that's why he goes all the stuff he goes through. And I thank you, Jesus, for blessing him, God, that no matter what, he's going to praise you. He's going to give you glory. He's going to give you honor. And bless my sister tonight. We thank you, Lord, for giving her good rest, letting her body rest, letting her mind rest, letting her rest in the spirit in Jesus' name. The Lord is saying, enter into my rest at a new level, of course. Enter into my rest so that be anxious for nothing, but in all things, in prayer and thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of thanksgiving in Nikki's life, God. Like Jesus took the bread. It wasn't enough. He took it. He said, God, you're my source. He lifted the bread and broke it, gave it to the Father. He said, I thank you, Father. I thank you, thank you, thank you. And what happened? He ended up with more than enough and 10 baskets full of bread left. So thank you, Jesus, for that more than enough for him, God, of knowing how to, the gratefulness and gratitude and the thankfulness we have. Because we know that you're our source, and you're the one who multiplies it. So thank you, Jesus, for showing him how to do that at a new level. And Charles, too. Thank you, Lord, for showing Charles how to do the same thing, how to lift that bread, bless it, say, this is not enough. But we thank you, God, that you're gonna do it. You're going to multiply. You're going to increase it in Jesus' name. And then it will be more than enough. Hallelujah. For more than enough. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. Because God is our source. That's what God's really doing. He's bringing you to I'm your source, not anything else, but I am. And God is holy, and he gets jealous. He doesn't want us to have any other sources before him, right? Yeah, so how many times God dealt with me about that? A lot. And I'm thankful, although sometimes it's difficult. Yeah, he's very jealous over being our source. And I thank God that you are their source, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. All right, 863-808, who am I talking to? And Green Friend.
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl. Can you pray for Chris?
Yeah, Chris.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Chris. All right, thank you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Jude. We bless Chris tonight, God. We thank you that Chris, God, we just speak the blood of Jesus over Chris. We thank you, Lord, for confirmation of the covenant. Confirmation that God is our source, God is our life, God is our, you know, the thing that's so beautiful about God is He watches over us, He knows everything we do, right and wrong, and yet He's there to help us because He knows that life is rough, life is difficult, things go wrong, things go bad. The devil stole the earth many years ago and turned it into a nightmare for many people. I think He's used for Chris, God, you show him how to live above that, walk into the covenant of the Lord, walking into that covenant blessing with Jesus, and therefore no matter what, he will be blessed. Amen. No matter what. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, God. I thank you, Jesus, for that faith of God. There's a difference between having our faith and the faith of God. The faith of God is a whole different level of faith. Our faith is something he gave to us. His faith is something that we receive from him, but it's outside of us, and it is more powerful than our faith. Although it's all important. Thank you, Jesus, for showing her the difference between her faith and the faith of God and how powerful it is. When I used to do meetings, healing meetings, sometimes, you know, I was so like, oh, God, please, please touch you. And I would be so stressed out in a sense and trusting God at the same time. And the gift of faith would kick in. And all of a sudden, I went from saying, I'm praying for you to be healed to saying, I know you're healed already. I mean, it wasn't me making that effort trying to be positive. It was like, boom, man, the faith of Christ hit me, and it's like I knew they were healed. I knew that a particular person would be healed. I just knew it, and sure enough, they were. It was amazing. When the gift of faith works, it's like there's no struggle, there's no battle. When our faith works, we're working it. We have to work it. We sweat a little bit sometimes. We learn to work it. It's a God thing. So thank you, Jesus, for that, for the different levels of faith. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, and blessing, showing how to walk in it, live in it. All right. For Sarah tonight, 25. I never see you on there, Sarah. You said you were on there, but I never saw you. All right. So good to have you tonight. Sarah said, all right. I'm not sure what time it is. It's 11:16. All right. Praying for you at 11:16. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord, for opening that up and giving her peace, God, to know that you're with her, that you're in charge of things, that everything that she desires, that's in the Bible, that's of God. Something's going to happen now. Something's going to happen later. Some things are a process of, God keeping you from getting the wrong things and make sure you get the right things, making sure that you don't get some fake phony thing. He wants you to have the real thing. God wants you to have the real thing, Sarah, the real thing. In Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for opening up the real thing. You know, they talk about Coca-Cola, you know, it's the real thing, which we know it's not, but Jesus is the real thing. And God wants you to walk in the real things, the things that last forever, the things that are blessed by God, the things that are given by him and through him and for him and his behalf to you. In Jesus' name. And they are laying up treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. So everything you do is unto the Lord. Amen. And God begins to bring back the harvest of that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Thank you, Lord, for opening up her spiritual womb, God, and letting her receive the seed of God's word to bring forth much more fruit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And an increase in multiplication of your life. All right, it's 11:18 tonight, and we started early. We prayed over a bunch of people tonight. We had, I don't know, anyway, prayed a lot of people tonight. It's really awesome, really cool. Thank you, Jesus, for the victory. Something's happening, y'all. I'm telling you, something's happening, and I'm very excited about it. So we'll see where it all goes. And Hall, he received the benefits from it. I think it's just an awesome thing. If we just reach out and touch God and believe him for the miracle that we need, whatever it is. Reach out and touch. Touch the Lord. Change your life. Take away the strife. Like a knife, he'll cut it away. So you won't sway away from the Lord. Yeah. Sway away from the Lord. You'll stay tight with him. The lover of your soul. He's come to make you whole. Come to make you whole. Be thou made whole in Jesus' name. So far, that looks like that's it for tonight. We'll see. Give a little bit more time, and other people may call in too early. We started early, praying early tonight. And so, awesome. I'm starting to do that a little bit more. Praise God. All right. Thanks for being with us, and we will give it a little more time. I'm going to mute my phone, and we'll be back in a little bit. Sorry, hello, this is Randy. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Yeah, Walter from South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. All right, good to have you tonight. God, thank you, Lord, for Walter. God, thank you for holding accountable, God. I thank you for tonight we have to hold the devil accountable for what he's done, hold God accountable for what he said he's going to do. You know, God says he's going to do something. Sometimes we remind God, you know, that God likes that because he loves to bring forth his word. When the devil does something wrong, like, you know, in cases where the enemy does stuff, all the apostles thought the enemy was doing something, and it was God using the enemy. But at the same time, he took it, and, you know, when the devil was doing things, he held the devil accountable for it. He said, no, can't do that. No, be gone. And the things that God was accountable for, the things that Jesus said he's going to do for us, we hold him accountable for that. He likes to be held accountable for what he says. He loves to be held accountable for his word. I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching my brother how to hold, to remind God of his word, to thank him for it, because he wants to bring it to pass. But sometimes we need to remind him. It's like reminding us. Maybe we need to look at it differently. Maybe we looked at it one way for a while and look at it in a little bit different way. See the word of God from the different perspectives that God gives on it. So we get a full, we get everything out of it that you know, all the meat, everything that's in it. We chew the cud until we get everything out of it that's in it. And I thank you, Lord, for all those things, for revisiting the word of God in ways and things that he's done before to enhance it, to make it bigger, to make it better, make it more powerful, make it understand it at a 30, 60, 100 degree, 100 degrees, 100 degrees, 100-fold, yeah. Yeah, that 100-fold, 100 degrees, making it hot, making it powerful, making it wonderful, understanding God in Jesus' name, where you'll understand. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 13, well, we can have hundredfold understanding. Wow, what an amazing thing that is. He said it's possible through Christ Jesus, and I believe it. And I thank you, Lord, for my brother tonight, God. I thank you for giving him that ability to believe you 100%. Amen. Yeah. Hold you accountable, God, for what you said. Your word says we could walk in 100% understanding. We're going to do it. Whatever it costs us, we're willing to pay the price. In Jesus' name, because we know you paid the price. We come in agreement with what you said. We come and buy gold. Tried in the fire. Come buy of me, Jesus. And gold tried in the fire. Hallelujah. And tried in the fire, bro. Buying some gold. Amen. The nature of Christ, the blessing of Christ. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, y'all. I'm going to be a little bit more. I'll be waiting for people to call in. Sometimes we go for a little bit longer, but we'll see what happens. Wait for people to call in. All right. We're going to be still and wait. We'll be looking for you. All right. Call in. All right, let's go to 941-5. 524. Who am I talking to from, please?
Hey, it's Aaron Daniel. It's Lieutenant Dan.
Okay. Dan, I thought I prayed over you earlier, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I already prayed over you. Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Dan. I'll give you a double prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel, God. Thank you, Lord, for Dan. God, open his heart, God. Let the light of God shine in there in brand new ways, revealing new truths, God, and understanding. You know, we get Word of God as a never-ending thing. We take one word, and God can eat off of it for a long time because we keep chewing it, chewing it, chewing it until we get all out of it that we need. God is showing him how to do that too, showing him how to partake of the Word and get all of it. Whatever God has, you know, the Word of God is like, it's almost like the understanding never ends. We can get one word, one single word, and get understanding on it that just goes on and on and on and on and on. And the revelation of the Word is always a never ending. It keeps increasing. It's like a river. The river, it never ends. Just the water just keeps coming, flowing down from above, going down, flowing down, flowing down, flowing down. Amen. It keeps on flowing. Amen. In Jesus' name. 251-229. Sarah?
Yes.
Okay, I sent you a text. I prayed over you at 11 something. I sent you a text to let you know when I prayed over you. So now we can go back and listen to it.
It was
11. Okay. Yeah, 11 something, yeah. I think you might have fallen asleep. Yeah, let's see. 11:16. So when you go back and listen to the show, yeah.
Share agent hotline. A national company specializing If you at this time were addicted to any of these social media platforms and as a result suffered from depression, anxiety, eating disorders such as anorexia or bulimia, insomnia, self-harm, suicidal thoughts, attempts, or even suicide, if you or your clients are defined by social media addiction, call the attorneys at Davis & Crump at the number below now to see if you're eligible for a cash award. Call now. Operators are standing by.
Enamel is gone. You cannot get it back, but you can repair it with